Welcome to the Hopeful Activist podcast from the Praxis Centre for Hope and Activism. We are all about exploring our role in God's mission to bring hope and transformation. Hi everyone, welcome back to the Hopeful Activists podcast. I'm Abby Thomas and it's lovely to be back with you today. Here in Bradford we've had a beautiful sunny morning and I'm feeling optimistic about the future. I'm a very tactile person. I'm very excited about being able to hug people again on Monday. So I apologise to you if you're not really a hugger. I will probably only remember that once I've thrown my arms around you and you then respond by being like an ironing board. I don't know whether you've thought about this, but I've got worries about what's changed in me over the last year. I'm an extreme extrovert, but I have found myself enjoying more and more time on my own recently. Will I rediscover my old self? And what about my relationship with God? Has being separated physically from our church community for so long altered my faith journey, or has it helped me to take better responsibility for my time with Jesus? And what about my activism? What effect has this past year had on my hope and action? So instead of a new interview today, I've dived into our archives to find some clips from some of our earliest episodes about the spiritual practices which resource our activism. All the links to the full episodes are in the show notes, so do click through if you want to hear the rest of the interviews in full. Right back in 2019, when Donald Trump was halfway through his presidency and Brexit was in frenzied discussion, I spoke to Natalie Collins, who campaigns for the rights of women in and out of the church. I often refer back to these words about how she resources her activism.
Activism has to be about hope, because we wouldn't take action, we wouldn't be doing this stuff if we didn't believe that there was the possibility of change. But I think in terms of being able to function when you see things, so, you know, when I look around and go, well, this is really depressing, there's all this sexism, there's all this objectification of women, there's inequality, that even where there is more hope for women on one hand, you've got like, oh, women can be, you know, can attempt to be president, but then when they do it becomes terrible and looking gets in and it's really miserable. And so I think there is a real depressing aspect to it, but I suppose for me, I see my role as planting seeds, that God's called me to plant seeds, and that I just have to do that. And I think as activists, we can't always be around for the fruit. We're not always going to see what's going to grow. Maybe what grows isn't what we kind of wanted to plant. We wanted to plant an orange tree, but we planted the seeds and what we got was a fig bush, or I don't even know enough about plants.
Pomegranate.
Yeah, that's it, something. Some pomegranates. I'm sure they're really biblical. So like, that's it. But yeah, so I think it's about, I believe absolutely that there is hope and that there is the potential for transformation. But actually, if we only act where we're seeing transformation, we're potentially going to give up very quickly, because hope is much more long term than maybe what I'll see in my lifetime, or what I'll see while I'm involved in a project. It's a case of saying, actually, I'm going to act for change and trust that God's got the rest of it.
And you are quite, I don't know what the right word is, spiky, I suppose, to the Christian world. If you could talk to somebody now who has a similar frustration, what would you say to them?
I would say that anybody who feels called to challenge the church, that the most important thing to do is build your relationship with God. Have dedicated time with God, spiritual practices, I spend a day a month with God, a weekend a year, I spend time with God. Because if you are going to be challenging the status quo, you have to be sure that you are listening to God and that you can hear God above all else. Because actually the church is supposed to be the compass for Christians. It's supposed to be the place that helps us to learn how to follow God. And if you feel you're called to be a person who is saying, I don't think you're doing this as well as you could be doing, then actually the most important thing to do is to find ways to become more and more obedient to God, to be able to hear from God, to be and then to find your people. I think that if we are called to challenge the church, not all the church is going to feel like our people, and they are. That we, whatever somebody thinks about women in leadership, I would stand and have communion with them. And in that, we are united. And, you know, in lots of ways, we're doing better than the current Brexit Brexit conversation. You know, if you look at the rest of the world, it makes me, slightly encourages me that everybody's disunited. It's not just the Christians. And at least we still like kind of love each other and can sit in the same room. So there is something, there is stuff to be encouraged by. But absolutely fine. You know, we need to go deeper and deeper into God. There's a passage in Jeremiah that's also somewhere in the New Testament, and I think somewhere in Psalms, that says we need to be like a tree planted by the riverside, and our roots need to go so far down into the riverbed that in the drought we're never thirsty. And I think that that's if we are called to activism, then our roots have to go so far down into God, because we are going to upset people. And it's really important that our identity and who we are is so rooted in God that actually we're not totally broken by the fact people don't like us. That is the priority. And then finding people who allies and supporters who cheer us on when actually everyone else is going, would you shut up and be quiet?
I love that, especially the day a month, weekend a year, and daily practice of time with God. I know for me in lockdown, it's helped me to keep a healthy perspective on how to solve the injustices in the world. And this is something that Athena Stevens touches on in her interview, recorded a couple of weeks after I spoke to Natalie. Athena is an award-winning playwright and activist, and I asked her, how has forgiveness played a part in her life?
Forgiveness is a daily choice. When Christ says you need to forgive 70 times 7, that wasn't a number, that was a lifestyle. Forgive so much that you forget how much you have to forgive. And I think so often we believe that you do it once, but just like grief comes in waves, forgiveness has to come in waves. And many times those two things are linked. You know, I am every day finding ways that my disability, which was caused by someone else's fault, affects my life. That's a new thing to grieve, and it's a new challenge to forgive. Usually, I'm pretty good at it. Some days I'm not, and some days I just go, God, I can't handle this right now. Please either make it better, give me power to forgive.
And if you were talking to somebody who had seen some injustice in the world and seen something that they wanted to see fixed, they'd had that sort of light bulb moment, I can offer a solution to this, what would you say to them? That's the most important thing that they should focus on. What's the most important characteristic for an activist, would you say?
The ability to realize that you are not alone, even if it feels like no other person is rooting for you. You have the power and the grace and the mightiness of God, who does want to see things right and does make enemies your footstool. But it's not for you to control. It's having the faith to know that the work that you have done will come to make this world better somehow. And the story isn't over yet, and it doesn't revolve around you.
Forgiveness. Knowing we are not alone. And knowing that it's not for us to control, the rest of this interview with Athena is really worth listening to. The link's in the show notes. And not long after speaking to Athena, I spoke to Shane Claiborne in a car park outside an event in Manchester where we nearly got run over, but that's a long story. I asked him, what advice would he give himself in his early days as an activist?
I guess I would say be so intentional about protecting your joy and your hope. I do that, but I think I, you know, would want to remind myself of that early on. I like how Emma Goldman says, you know, if I can't dance, it's not my revolution. And so a lot of justice people have kind of lost their joy a little bit. And that's not even a partisan issue. I think a lot of people on the left and right.
In terms of this sort of keeping going for the long haul, what sustains you? What keeps you going? What helps you stay joyful?
A couple of things help me. I think it's balancing the local and the systemic stuff. Like, I have a real community with my feet on the ground, and that is energizing. But if all I was doing was giving people food, I would start to get tired if I wasn't doing something about why people are hungry to begin with. You know, so this idea of like compassion at the local level and systemic change on the macro level, they go together. And I know a lot of people that are working for systemic change and policy change, and they need to come play in a fire hydrant on my block with the kids or have a snowball fight, or, you know, like they need to just hang out on the porch and be with somebody. Because you can advocate for immigrants, but if you're not like having dinner with friends that are immigrants, I think, you know, it starts to feel detached. And so to me that goes together. And one of my mentors said, we've all heard it said, you give someone a fish, they'll eat for a day, you teach them to fish, they'll eat for the rest of their life. But we also have to ask who owns the pond, you know. And so those to me, when we're integrating those, it keeps some energy for us. And when we're doing things that we love, you know, we don't have people working in the kids program if they don't like kids. You know, we're trying to work out of our passions, and we're trying to but community also helps me sustain it. You know, there's a beautiful scripture that talks about bearing one another's burdens, and some people have burdens that are way more than they should be bearing, and they're suffocating, and, you know, just the structures of injustice. And so we bear those burdens together. But it's also true in community. When someone comes home, they're like, man, Pedro's dad beat him up again, you know, like, we all carry that together, and we figure out how the heck we can keep that from happening, you know, in the future. So you kind of, there's kind of a sustainability from doing life together in community, especially when it comes to this work. We're not lone rangers, you know, and there's that old proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone, but if you want to go far, you go together. And I think that's true of justice work in general, too. If you want to go long term, then you need to have some people with you.
So there we have it. Invest in time with God. Forgive. Accept we aren't in control. Remember joy. And live in community. And I wanted to finish on that note about community, as we're now in a time where we can draw back together. Let's enjoy being people who work together against injustice. If you need an online community of activists, we would love to support you on your journey. You can do that by joining our Facebook group or get in touch via our website, praxiscentre.org. The links to all these episodes are in the show notes, but just scroll back on your podcast feed and you'll find them there too. Thank you so much for listening to the Hopeful Activists podcast. We love to hear what you're up to, and thank you for your support. Please do recommend us to an activist friend and subscribe on your podcast app to get alerted when a new episode is out. Next week, I'm so happy to say that Ben Lindsay will be with me. He's founder and CEO of Power the Fight, an organisation training and empowering communities to end youth violence. And he's also the author of We Need to Talk About Race, Understanding the Black Experience in White Majority Churches. And next week's episode is the last in our series, The Church And, where we'll talk about the church and race. And we'll also hear from Ben the week after about his work with Power the Fight in London. Until then, I hope you find joy and hope this week.